And we are live. Good Monday morning, folks. It is, actually, it's Monday afternoon for the majority of the country. I didn't go live till what, 1 o'clock today. 1300 hours. That's 1 o'clock for you civilian types, 1 p.m. Anyway, got a bunch of stuff to talk about today. Mostly new stuff, and then we'll hit a few things that are going on here at the homestead. What are we going to talk about today? Well, you know, the government shutdown has not been that big of a deal for most people, and for all the talks of, our troops won't get paid. Shut up. You've never been in the military. You don't know how it works. Your bank will give you the money and take the money when it comes. They know that the troops will get back paid. It's been done many times. I did it in 1992. I'm sure people can figure out how to do it today. So that's not a problem. You know what might be a problem? SNAP benefits, right? SNAP benefits are going to run out. In fact, they're running out today, but it will actually, the rubber will start meeting the road as of November 1st. Most states will not be able to pay out any SNAP benefits. Some will be paying out partial for a while and then run out. But most states do not have the funds where they can pay it back, pay it out, and then get it back from the government, because it's doable, but they don't have the money. And while the banks will, you know, basically take the history of an LES, they're not going to finance billions of dollars to a state government for this. So that's going to happen, and that could turn into a real freaking mess. Really, really bad. I'll talk about how bad today. And I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm just saying it's probable. It also depends on how much longer it goes. And I'm going to show you some people saying flat out, I'm going to go get mine. I'm going to the store. You better get out of my way. I will take the, I'm going to do it, right? And some other things that I'll let them happen. Oh, man. Second Light Farm says, Jack, you are X's most hated person right now, bro. Good. Good. That makes my day. That made me a real belly laugh. Now, the next thing, and they're mad about that over there because I'm talking about that. They're also mad over there because I'm talking about how the same people that tore down statues, including people like Washington and Jefferson and like actual abolitionist statues in the name of racism, right, or being anti-racist or whatever, they're now concerned about historical value. Yeah, they care deeply about history because Trump is demolishing the entire White House. This is retarded. We'll talk about it quickly and briefly just to point out the irony more than anything else, because I'm then going to give you an alternative reason the Dems might be prolonging the government shutdown. And I'm going to talk about the fact that New York's about to have a communist mayor. You can say Democrat, socialist, all you want. It means about as much to me as Antifa does. Anti-fascist by being fascist. Bullshit. It's about as, you know, like, it might as well be the name of a bill, like the Patriot Act, which is completely unpatriotic, or the Freedom Act, which reduces freedom, right? It should be the reduction of freedom, or the Affordable Care Act, which is part of why we have this meltdown going right now. But I really want to kind of point out here to you that this is all related. That's the case I want to make you today. That all of this is related. Basically, you're looking at a communist color revolution. And I'll tell you a little bit about what that is, right, in a bit. And Cobbo is saying that New York is what happens when you import the third world. To a degree, but it's not the third world that are about to elect this clown, this communist. It's mostly young white kids and old white boomers. It really is. If you look at the rallies and all the people out stumping for the guy in Hall, it's a perfect explanation. Young, stupid white kids, old, stupid white boomers. Who's going to elect this guy? That's what's happening. And we're going to accumulate all of that with a question. I just saw this on X. Like, it wasn't even in the show lineup until 10 minutes ago. It was a post that I saw earlier, but somebody was reposting it, commenting it on it. It's a whole find a house thing and fix your house up and whatever. But the gentleman that made the post said, we've raised a generation of useless men. I want to pose that question. Have we? Have we raised two generations of useless men at this point? How many men can't do simple things like change a freaking spare tire on a car? I mean, seriously. And look, I'm all for saving time. I'm very greedy with my time. I make a lot of money when I'm working. So if I stop working to do something for myself, if I could pay somebody to do it and be financially ahead, and I don't have to do it, it's done by a professional, sure. But I know how to do the stuff, right? I got dudes replacing a freaking hot water heater for me right now. You might hear some banging in the background from it. I can do that, but then I wouldn't be doing my job. So that's a financial calculation that I made to get it done, especially with a workshop coming up and all now, right? But I can do it. I can change oil in a car. I can change a tire. I can frame a wall. I mean, and most men my age and older, and then the generations before us that passed on, can do all those things. Like, not every man can do everything, but most men can do a lot of things in that kind of age bracket back. Is it our fault? Is it the government's fault? Is it the country? But we do have a definite skills gap and knowledge gap in the generations that consider themselves, by their own words, I've seen them say it many times, the most educated generation in history. But you can't do anything. You can't function. And I've seen this in many ways, especially with young, stupid kids, usually affluent, from affluent families, white kids that want to tell me how privileged they are, and they couldn't handle themselves for 5 minutes in a conflict situation. I had one guy, I handed him a marker. I said, if you can put a mark on my face or my body anywhere with that marker, you win $50. And by the time it was over, he looked like a joker. I took his own hand and wrote all over him with it. Like, now, how privileged are you? If you had a knife and I didn't, I just cut the shit out of you. You can't touch me with a marker. How much of that do we have today? And you see them fight. They're violent, but they can't fight. Whenever you see a conflict, like on a street fight thing, if either one of the guys actually knows how to throw a straight inside punch, he always knocks the other guy the fuck out. Because all they do is this weird, wild, I don't know what the hell it is. They look like a monkey trying to hump a freaking pillow or something. I mean, it's violent. It works, but they can't do anything. We'll talk about that. Then I got three little things going on here at the homestead I thought you guys might want to hear about. Just some happy stuff since there's so much shit today, right? We're going to talk about some self-cloning crayfish I've been working with since last year and the success I've had with them. My cover crops went in early, and I got a little thing I'm going to start doing that some of you guys might want to come hang out with me when I do it. And we'll tell you what that is when we get to it. Before that, let's go ahead and hear from our sponsors of the day. Sponsor of the day number one today. Start9 Sovereign Computing. You can take back your privacy. You can take back control. I want you to just know one thing. There's no such thing as the cloud. It's not up here. Like Cackles said, the cloud is just somebody else's computer. It's AWS, which we just learned is not quite as reliable as people say. The big thing is if it's on somebody else's computer, then somebody else can decide, yeah, I don't need access to it anymore. Yeah, or maybe just some of your files disappeared because we don't think you should have those. Or maybe some of your files, we told somebody what you had because it looked suspicious to us. We thought he was putting together a drug house, you know, whatever. Like, that's actually happened to people because they bought, like, a bunch of fluorescent lights and shit. Like, how about you keep all your stuff private? You can do that with a Start9 private server. There's a lot of great options to choose from there. It's an easy OS to learn how to use. If you can install apps on your phone and use apps on your phone, then you can use a Start9 private server. Check them out today at start9.com. Next up today, JM Bullion. I always say when I talk about silver and gold, yes, I am a Bitcoin bull. I am a huge Bitcoin bull. I have never been an all or nothing guy, though. I've always believed in actual diversity. And having four different ETFs that basically all hold the same stocks that your financial advisor calls it well-diversified is not. However, holding stocks and equities plus hard assets like silver and gold plus hard digital assets like Bitcoin, that is true diversity along with things like tools, skill sets, real property, right? But if you're going to add to your precious metal stack, you should check out JM Bullion. Why? They do a discount for MSB members. All orders ship free. They have the best pricing in the industry. You always get what you ordered, no problems, and I can talk to the president if I need to. And they've supported the show that you listen to and you tune into for, 12 years now I've had them as a sponsor. That's forever in the world of podcasting. So you know what to do. Get your silver and gold from JM Bullion. Now let's get into kind of the things that I promised you today. Lead story, and the one we'll spend the most time on, is SNAP benefits. SNAP benefits officially, there's no more money going to the states today. The money that would have gone to the states would be paid out starting November 1st. So as of the 1st of November, no food stamps. Now, there's some things that you really need to understand and know going on here when we talk about SNAP, which, again, it's just, we used to just call it food stamps. Of course, every government thing has to have a clever acronym because that makes it official, right? It's, I don't even remember what SNAP stands for, but it's free food, right? Here's your card, your EBT card or whatever, and you go out and you get free food, and you get a certain amount every month depending on how needy you are. And I recently discovered something I found shocking. There are people that maybe get $100-$200 a month. Like they just need a little extra assistance or whatever, which actually, if the program worked that way and that's really all that ever did, then I would kind of be like, well, I don't like any form of government getting in the way of shit, but okay, I get it. But the average SNAP recipient today has multiple kids because that's a way to get more money from all of the government welfare programs. But they're actually getting more in SNAP benefits than the average median American spends on food a month. Not by a lot, but by like a couple $100. Because, you know, government automatically gives you a raise and your job does not. The real world is different than government freaking Donkey Kong fantasy land. But there's 40 million plus people on SNAP. And what I'm concerned about right now is not that they won't get fed. I'm concerned about what that could lead to. And I want to just put something in your brain here. We all know that when we look at any large group of people, there is a percentage of them that are scumbags, absolute scumbags. And generally speaking, and I don't, this is not about race or income level. This is just general. If you go out and cast a wide net and bring me 100,000 people, there is a significant portion of them that are scumbags. And what holds the scumbags in is fear of what happens if they're not, if they go out and be scumbags, like getting arrested, getting beat up, getting shot, which is why in certain places where laws are not enforced, you see a lot more public scumbaggery because the fear factor is not there. The other thing is, like, is there something that has angered them enough to get them to demonstrate how big of a scumbag they are? And again, this could be lawyers. It could be priests. You put a million people together, I promise you some of them are scumbags. Well, what is 1% of 40 million? You ever do that math? It's a simple math problem. It's decimals. It's like the metric system, right? Just move the decimal over. So we're and Hilux here is saying it's the 80-20 rule in action. Yeah, but we're not even going 80-20. We're going 1%. If 1% of 40 million people are the kind of people that will riot in the streets over this, that's 400,000 people. Now, there's also a whole group of scumbags that maybe are not directly attached to this, but their mom is, or their cousin is, or their sister is, and they're mad about that. But then there's a whole additional group of scumbags out there, out of the whole kit and caboodle of 340, 50 million Americans, who like rioting for any reason at all. Once, if you can get a couple hundred people rioting, all the others show up, like a network effect. I'm going to tell you that 400,000 people is more than enough to make that happen. And there's more going on here that we'll get to in a bit about all of this. But I'm going to tell you that right now, there are people, and I know there's some bullshit rage baiting in some of this stuff, okay? Don't get me wrong. But I also say believe people who are who they are. When they tell you who they are, believe them. And so I want you to listen to a few people here that are going to tell you what they're going to do when their SNAP runs out because they're entitled to it. Of course, they're blaming Trump for it because Trump's the reason they're not getting it in their freaking thick bone skull heads. Anyway, you can just listen to this person talk here. And this is some guy's video where he's compiled a bunch of stuff. And he's kind of doing narration in it too. I'll let this run for a minute or two, and then it'll be enough to make my point.
And aired out their frustrations.
I'm going to tell y'all straight up like this. I just got that text that the link is definitely cut the fuck off for November. Y'all better stay the fuck out of my way in these stores. I'm walking out with carts and I'm not paying for shit. Trump, if you want motherfuckers start losing, oh, it's going to happen. before my kids go broke as bitch like Jock, I'm going to be stealing like it ain't no tomorrow. I am going to go in that store, get everything I get regularly. I'm going to bag my shit up, swipe my link card, as soon as that bitch say, ain't no pendant balance on there, I'm going to walk the fuck out. And I'm going to have one of my cousins with me that'll punch your ass so hard, you're going to think a Jet 2 holiday hit your bitch ass if you think I ain't going to walk out that store.
It's been day 5, and I have not received no food stamps. My disability check is on hold.
Why would you take away these people's benefits? We literally just had to go home because everybody came into my grocery store. I work at Walmart. Everybody came into Walmart bum rushing, stealing, like filling up buggies, running out the store, like just putting all the groceries in their cart because he want to cut off my food stamps. Y'all, this shit is crazy. Like, I think y'all are getting y'all food stamps in November, or maybe some of y'all is not, but like, they literally just had to like do emergency evacuation at our store because everybody came in going crazy over like food for their kids and shit.
When it comes to some who don't receive food stamps, they would also offer their own perspective about the whole situation and food stamp shutdown. One man would point out how even those who don't receive food stamps will be affected, as he noted that there will be a chain reaction to those who supply food, like grocery stores, butchers, and farmers.
But just think about how big of a freaking disaster is going to be on our economy, man. All it's going to take is just 1 month of people not getting their food stamps, and watch what happened in those grocery stores. Those meat prices is going to drop.
Now, outside of those who empathize for those who may lose their food stamps next month, some appear to not be so concerned, as one woman on X would write, an unpopular opinion that should be popular. If you can afford $100 nails, $100 fake lashes, and $200 hair extensions, and the newest iPhone, then your food stamps need to be taken away. Now, unfortunately, this comment may mislead who food stamps impacts the most by mentioning extensions and fake lashes.
I'm going to tell you guys, there is no exaggeration in that post that he's about to apologize for. And I'm linking to his piece. You can listen to the whole thing if you want to. I just don't want to keep listening to it. I want to talk about it. I'm going to tell you how this works for real with all of these welfare programs, Medicaid for a chip for the kids, all this shit. And I'm going to go back a little while. I'm going to go back so far, there wasn't a TSPC yet. I'm going to go back to when my wife was still working full-time as a pediatric nurse. And she worked for a doctor that practiced out of a hospital down near Benbrook. Or, I'm sorry, not Benbrook. It doesn't matter. To the west of Mansfield. Texas. And the name just won't come to me right now, that little town down there. Anyway, she had people come in all the time. The kids are on Medicaid, right? So that's for low-income families, right? And, you know, at the time, I had people working for me that we didn't pay very well because they just weren't worth paying really well. And they all told me they all made too much money to get on Medicaid. And these are people making like $8, $9, $10 an hour. Now, again, this is like early 2000s, but still, right? I mean, it's not a lot of money and they don't qualify. But yet she had patients come in all the time. And these kids were going to things like Dallas Cowboy Camp. The one lady drove a freaking Humvee and she's on Medicaid. And they do this a lot of times, but if they do have a marriage, but they don't get married, and it turns out the dude makes really good money, they just put down that they don't have a husband and their deadbeat husband is gone and they don't have any money, and they put down only their income and they live off the free money plus the income. I know there's poor people. I know there's poor ass people. It's all they have. I also feel like this. I don't really care. I don't really care. I don't want to pay for them. I don't want you to pay for them. I don't want your kids to pay for them. I don't want your great-grandchildren to be paying the credit card bill for paying them long after we're all dead, which is what's going to happen. Oh, Jack, they'll starve. No, they won't. They will now. Now that we created this damn mess. Let me tell you another story. I was telling my wife, we were talking about this yesterday. I told my wife this. I was driving through Arkansas. I don't even remember why. This, again, is back a while ago. Barack Obama was president when this happened. I think it was in his first term. So I was doing the podcast at this point. I'm listening to AM radio, which in Arkansas is preachers sports radio, and freaking maybe if you're lucky, a country western station. So I'm flipping through, and I hear an advertisement for food stamps. Yeah, they're advertising food stamps. And they were telling people, you might be getting by, but did you know you might qualify? You should apply. We literally had our government soliciting people to get on SNAP. I think the government wants as many Americans as possible on some form of welfare as they can get. You know, the thumbnail for today's video, that's a map, like a heat map showing what percentage of people are on food stamps in different states. And it runs from like the low is like 8-9% up to 48%. And you can see that if you go look at that image, it's all over the place. There are concentrations. Appalachia is full of it. The highest usage. So is parts of Florida, parts of Texas, a shitload of the West Coast. But when you look at the map, you're like, well, I'm not in the red. But, you know, some of those numbers are still like 16%, 15%, like 20%. 20% is you walk around and one out of five people are on this one form of welfare, of which we have many forms of welfare. And when you put people, here's the danger of this. When you put people on something like this for this long with this much money, it becomes not charity in their mind. It becomes an entitlement. Instead of being grateful for what they are given, they feel like not only are they entitled to it, they should be getting more. You should be giving them more, and you're an evil bastard for not doing it. So when you cut that off, I think my number of 400,000 people that might take to the streets to start tearing shit up is pretty low. Pretty damn low. And the media will spin it as all is Trump's fault. And I'm no apologist for Trump. You guys know this. I do not make excuses for that man. I say a lot of good things about some of the stuff he does and a lot of bad things about some of the stuff he does, and especially shit he says. He says some really stupid things. But this is not Trump's fault. The House passed a clean CR, continuing resolution. I basically said, here's the money to fund the allocation of spending that was already made. The Democrats got in the way of it. We'll talk about that more in just a bit. So we already have that fact, 1% of 40,400,000. They're already saying they're going to do this shit. You heard that girl. I'll bring my cousin. He'll punch you the hell out if you try to stop us. Her cousin might meet somebody who thinks a little bit differently. I'm assuming the $10 an hour clerk at Walmart ringing up the groceries will probably not be willing to stand up to her cousin. But every once in a while, you run into a big old redneck boy like me that don't play. I'm just saying, but there's going to be more of them than there are of people like me. And I generally stay out of shit like that anyway. I mean, if it's right in front of me, then who knows, right? What kind of day am I having? But I want you, the left riots for any reason anyway. When Trump won the first election, they burnt down leftist cities that voted for the other party, that voted for freaking Hillary. They burned down their own cities. BLM riots. They burned down all the black businesses in downtown. The left will, any excuse to riot, they'll riot. They'll riot when there's a storm. I just need to get by and they're stealing TV sets. Yeah? That's the kind of bullshit that we're going to be dealing with in November if this doesn't change. Now, it might change. We'll talk more about that in a bit as well. But I want you to understand something. This is all interrelated. This No King shit. Back when they did the first one, I covered where all the funding comes from. George Soros, the Tides Foundation, et cetera, right? The legacy of what's left of USAID, because it's not gone. They only cut about 20% of the total spending out of USAID. That's just done by a different department now. So don't worry. The trans opera in Ireland will still happen. Okay? And the Democrats want more of it. That's why they're pushing to get more spending added to this. I want you to really understand this. I'm not happy. You know who voted against the CR as a Republican? Rand Paul, because he thinks it's too much spending. That's a principled vote, right? It's not just to get in Trump's way, even though Trump takes it that way. Yeah. This is a color war. And it's related to things we're going to talk to about, like Mondani in New York City. This is a color war. And I think a lot of people don't understand what color war means. it can be based on skin color. It can, race can go in it. But what it's really about is rallying people under things that sound great, like liberty and freedom, but there's never actually liberty and freedom at the end of that road. This is a communist tactic. So communism never leads to liberty and freedom. It never has, and it never will. Okay? And you can't show me where it ever did. It never led to anything even remotely looks like liberty and freedom. It's led to misery and death. But that's what the believers in communism are always people that never actually experienced it. You notice that? You don't have people coming to America from communist places that want communist things. They're always the one that go, what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? Anyway, a color war is where you take divisions and you drive a deep wedge between them to get everybody angry at each other. And then you take the biggest block that you're capable of pulling off and you make them on your side and you use them to dominate society and instill change in society. And it almost always goes through the youth, the stupid youth who have no life experience whatsoever, who are easily sold on an idea that sounds nice that nobody's actually tested. These are the people that, like, if you're a car salesman and they got a new job, you want, when you see that one walk on the lot, you kick your buddy in the knee so he can't get out there first. You run out there because you know I can sell this person a car with flashy words, right? Yes, 17%, but that's okay. We'll get you approved. You can afford it. Go ask your mom to co-sign. We'll get that rate down to 14.5%, right? These are the same people that are used as useful idiots in this operation, and that's what's going on. This is all connected together. This is a very long-term ongoing strategy that its current form is at least 7 years old. And all it's got is more power. Remember when I talked about rules for radicals and I said that the problem the right has is the right is dumb because the right thinks because it has the Senate, the House, the presidency, and a majority on the court that the right has the power and right is in control. The right isn't in control of shit. 96% of bureaucrats vote Democrat. The bureaucrats have more control over your daily life than any politician ever will. Right? They control academia. They control the media. They control the financial system. The left controls everything. They control the tech. The right is completely out of power and is dumb enough to believe that it's in power. And now you've got all this added to it. We're headed for some dark, dangerous shit. I'm telling you. And a big part of it is absolute ignorance. And a willingness to be upset and angry about anything that the other side does. Doesn't matter what it is. And the left is just, they have mastered this to the point of mental illness. The latest one, and this is the dumbest fucking thing I've ever heard in my life. I'm sorry, it is. They're upset now. Trump is demolishing the White House, right? This is an actual article. I took a screenshot to make this meme. It says, the obscene destruction of a national treasure is this president's legacy. And they're showing where they tore down part of the east wing of the White House to build Trump's ballroom. And what I put on the meme was the people who tore down statues of Washington and Jefferson are suddenly concerned about preserving history. GTFOH. Some of y'all know what that means, right? It's ridiculous. It's preposterous. Now, I'm going to tell you why they do it. Because they're stupid, they believe you're stupid too. They don't remember anything, so why would you? Why would you remember all the riots and shit they pulled to tear statues down? Statues nobody gave a single flying fuck about for 100 years. Nobody even looked at it, just sitting over here doing it. And the right being stupid too, like, oh my God, I can't believe they're erasing history. And they went out and fought with each other and shit. People got killed over it. Nobody gave a shit about that statue before that whole nonsense started, and no one gave a shit about it after. I did some research, and I wrote this into my book, and I said there's like 800 and some of these statues that would fit the criteria for tearing them down that are still in America. And everybody forgot it was a problem. Nobody's upset about it, man. Nobody wants to turn them. I mean, it might come back around, but it's been freaking like 8 years since that crazy shit went on, and no one cares. And you know what else I didn't see? I didn't see anybody laying flowers at the feet of where one was torn down. They don't care about that. It's just tribalistic bullshit. but it is erasing history. These are historical landmarks. But now they're worried that Trump is going to damage the White House. And they keep lying about it, too. Again, I will talk negative about the man all the time, and I'll talk positive about him when it's true. But mostly, I just tell the truth. Trump himself, personally, and several donors in his Rolodex are financing the entire cost of this project. Now, some retard said he's suing so-and-so for, you know, X dollars, and that's about the same amount. So the government's really paying for it. Shut up. God, you're stupid. And these people are stupid. And you have to understand, they're not just stupid as in low IQ. These people are stupid under Bonhoeffer's theory of stupidity. Bonhoeffer was a writer and a pastor that was pretty vocal about this stuff during the buildup of the Nazi government. He ended up dying just a few days before the war ended. He was shot in a concentration camp. And he had what he called the theory of stupidity. And what he said is that people who are made stupid does not mean they're intellectually slow. They are made stupid by government propaganda, are more dangerous than violent people. If a person's just violent and that's all they are, then you have every ability in the world to use violence to resist them. But when they're stupid and they get into a stupid mob, they become impossible to resist and they become very dangerous. And that's who these people are. They know absolutely nothing. They don't know that the whole damn wing that's being worked on and renovated was built by FDR. There's people still alive that remember when it happened. And most of it was actually completed by Harry Truman after the war because FDR kicked off. They don't know that. And when you tell them that, they either say you're lying or it doesn't matter. It's different because it's Trump. That's the only part that they're actually being honest about. It's different for them because it's Trump. Yep. Second Light Farm. Thanks for the super chat there. $5 says pick the target, freeze it, personalize it, and polarize it. Straight out of Rules for Radicals. That's exactly what's being done here right now. And dumb your people down. It was like you need another rule for Rules for Radicals. Make your people stupid enough to believe anything you tell them. See, the thing is, Alinsky operated at a different time. When in many cases, not all, but in many cases, the left had a fucking point, man. The left had a point from the 1930s up to the 1970s. Civil rights, the left had a point. 100% had a point. The war, the Vietnam War specifically. The left had a freaking point. The left was right on those two issues. And so it wasn't necessary to make people stupid. You actually empowered your people by making them very well informed. What they do with these people here is inform them with bullshit that they'll believe, that they'll grab onto and cleave to, and that makes them stupid and violent and dangerous. And I want you to realize that that's what's going on. That even this stupid little thing about the White House, this is pure Trump derangement syndrome. If Donald Trump touched it, it must be bad. I swear to these people, if Donald Trump personally, somehow, by some miracle, discovered a cure for cancer, they'd say Trump is tanking the economy because the pharmaceutical companies won't be able to make any money anymore off cancer drugs, and it's such a big part of our economy, and he's putting doctors out of work, and that people have a right to have cancer. That's how stupid these people are. And I'm not even kidding. If you got a chuckle out of it, good. But I'm not kidding when I say that. I'm telling you, there are a portion of these people that would believe it 100%. The man keeps sending Ukraine money and weapons, even though he said he wouldn't. Even though he said they're not, they are. The left loves that, but they hate him, and they think somehow he's pro-Russia. That's the dumbest shit in the world because that's what they've been told, so they have to believe that. They have to believe what they were told. But I have another theory about the government shutdown. And this is I'm not going to tell you what my theory is yet. I may have mentioned it on the air in the past. I'm just going to tell you the poll I'm running first, and then I'll tell you the one that I think was at least initially the primary plan here. I said, in the poll, the question was, what do you think the goal of the shutdown by Democrats really is? One, cause a violent uprising when SNAP is cut off. Two, bait Republicans into changing the Senate rules, i.e. remove the filibuster. Three, get more funding for welfare programs in general, just because they want more people on welfare. or something else and comment. Well, Violent Uprising got 25.9% of the vote, and I bet you if I ran this poll 2 weeks ago, it wouldn't have. Just everybody's talking about it. That's why we're talking about it. Senate rule change, 15% of the vote. It lost. Lowest score. More welfare, period, 20.4% of the vote. Something else, 38.8% of the vote. And I think a lot of that 38% was basically using something else as a default to all of the above, which I actually thought about including. But I figured if I didn't give it all of the above, just said anything else, we'd get more data, which I do believe we did if you start reading the comments. But I actually think the real strategery, right, the strategery here is that the Democrats have always wanted a Senate rules change on the filibuster. They don't want to be the ones who did it. They want to be every time they use it, they want to be able to say, oh, Republicans changed it. It was this way for 100 something years. We were totally, and they, if the Senate Republicans do it, and this is, I think a lot of people don't know this. There are rules in the Senate, and most of the rules are set by the Senate itself, including the way that the filibuster is set up right now and what it applies to and what it doesn't. And you could change that rule. You could change that rule with a simple majority vote, meaning the minute one side has the House and the Senate, they can pretty much do anything they want with no interference. It's been referred to as the nuclear option. If you've ever heard the term when stuff like this is going on, they might invoke the nuclear option. That's what they're talking about. That's what they mean by the nuclear option. Because once you do it, theoretically you could go back, but why would you now? The party in power would have no desire to put it back. And the party out of power can't do anything to change it. And if you got a coalition together that changed it and put it back, well, since it had been changed before, all you have to do is get a simple majority again that wants to put it back. And you can put, once it's done, you've rung the bell that cannot be unrung. That's what's happened there. And I think that is what the Democrats want. And I do believe it is because they feel they will do very well in the midterms and that they will be able to ram everything they want down to Trump's desk and get him to sign it under the threat of yet another fucking impeachment. And by God, he's given them some ammunition for it. You want me to give you one example? How about bombing freaking boats in international waters with no warrants or anything, no idea who the actual person on the boat is, and basically nuking them from orbit? Well, but they're drug dealers or they're drug sellers or whatever. They probably are. I believe that they probably are exactly what is being told to us. No, they're not fishermen. They're not fishermen in fucking mock submarines. They're not fishermen in these long boats with all these outboards with blue drums in them. Okay. They are but it doesn't mean that it's legal. It doesn't mean that it's legal. Under the War Powers Act, they're not a country or representing a country. It's not piracy. Is it legal or illegal? I'm going to tell you, I'm not 100% on what one way or the other. I think technically it is legal. It doesn't matter if you can get enough people to vote in the Senate to get rid of the man, or every Democrat is going to vote guilty. Right? So you're going to put us through another bullshit impeachment just to weaken the other side. They want all of that and more. And then they feel that once they've gotten that positioning done, remember, Democrats are very good at political chess. I will give them compliment, I guess. They're sleazier. I always compare it like if you're a Star Trek fan, they're the fucking Romulans and the Republicans are the Federation. They stick to their own rules, even though they know their enemy will just shove it right up their ass. The Romulans will take the Federation's own rules and use them against them, and they will break their own rules all the time. Rules for radicals. Where do you think Roddenberry probably got the idea for the character set? But that's absolutely a one vulnerability. Using all of these National Guard troops, that's another vulnerability. I think that's completely legal. It doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter what it is to these people. They don't care. They just want what they want. And I think that that's what they believe. If they can get that rules chain done, and they can get it done without being the ones that did it, then, and the only way you get it, if they really think now is the time they need it, they can't do it. So they need the Republicans to do it. I think, to be fair, I think Thune, who's a dirtbag, he's smart enough to know this, and that's why they haven't done it. They haven't done a lot of things they could have done. They didn't do recess appointments when they could have for Trump's appointments, which they should have done. So, again, Federation, we live by our own rules. We do what we're supposed to do, even when it's not a rule, even when it's just a tradition. It's dumb as shit. You're in a war, and the enemy's using mustard gas on your ass, and you're like, oh, don't point the 50 cal at soldiers, only equipment, like that shit. That's the mindset that's going on here right now. But I think that's the goading. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to get the Republicans to make this rule change. Now, they may have felt that by now that would have happened. And I'm not saying they're not cheering on riots. Democrats love riots, especially when they're not in power. Because when they're not in power, this is Trump's riots. They're the Trump riots. That's what they'll call. Watch. That's what they'll call them. The Trump food riots of 2025. Donald Trump's riots. Right? Why wouldn't you say that? Oh, you want me to say something bad about it? He'll tell you. He said bad things about Trump. Hey, how about the price of beef, you orange asshole? That's all your fault. He's talking about it like it's good for our ranchers. You want to do something good for our ranchers, orange dude? Here's what you do. Make it easier to process beef in the fucking United States so people can buy the fucking beef that's grown in the fucking United States. That's what you do. You make it easier and less expensive to comply with regulations so the guy down the road that has cows can actually get them processed into cuts instead of just selling half a cow or a whole cow to a guy like me. That's all you got to do. That's all you have. That is the literal only thing you have to do. The only thing you have to do to make beef affordable and make ranchers more money is make it easier for them to get their product to market without big meat controlling everything. But the orange asshole loves big business no matter where it is. There you go. You wanted me to say something negative? I got more, but we're moving on from there, okay? Because I'm more concerned about things like riots and our country being dumb enough to be outraged by things like I just said to try anything that's a change. Hope and change 2.0. Here we go. Yes. Zolar Mandami, a freaking communist. There is no such thing as a democratic socialist. That is not a thing. That is a made up freaking word because they think you're stupid enough to believe it. And they know even if you're not, there's a whole shitload of stupid people. Democratic socialism, right? Bernie Sanders kind of started the whole thing, right? Yeah, look at some countries that have Democrat and socialism in the actual names of the countries, like, you know, the Democratic Republic of North Korea, the DPRK. Yeah. Guys, there's no such thing as a Democrat socialist. The only reason they're Democratic socialists is we have a democratic election process in this country, and they need a democratic process to get power. Communists, when they get power, they're almost always initially elected. And then they never go away. And they start doing things like rounding people up and shooting them and all the stuff they say that the fascist Trump is doing. It's amazing to me. Your fat ass is in the street screaming that, and you're there tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day, and they never round you up, and you get away with saying all that shit. If you were dealing with a communist government, you wouldn't. Now, here's the limiting factor for Mandami. It's New York City. It's not even New York State, let alone the United States of America. There's only so much that he will be able to do. I'm going to tax everybody. So here's a problem. I'm going to tax the rich. Okay, first of all, people that are rich and live in New York State, let alone New York City, are already taxed at ridiculous rates compared to the rest of the country. Property taxed and income taxed. Out the wazoo. Out the wazoo. Especially upper income people, the kind of people he's talking about targeting. But there's another thing about cities. You see, cities don't have borders that countries have. You don't have to be a billionaire and get another passport to leave a city. All you do is rent a fucking U-Haul and move. and your tax consequences go with you. And when you are a giant mega corporation, like all those companies on Wall Street and all, do you know that almost all of them now have presences almost as large as their presence in New York City in Florida? Yeah, Florida man is now Wall Street man. Look that shit up if you doubt me. Goldman Sachs actually has more people in Florida than in New York City. Isn't that interesting? So when these, I know people who live in here, they'll never leave. When their fucking company they work for leaves, they'll leave. Most people that live in or near New York City live there because their job is there. The kind of people he's talking about taxing anyway. They live there because New York City is where you go to make it big. It's where the big money is. It's where the big players are. And the big players already left in mass during the COVID stupidity. And a lot of them are never going back. And a lot of them left half, like the Goldman Sachs, right? The Goldman Sachs moved about half of their shit out of the state going, we can't. But that makes moving the rest much easier. So if he really goes through on his plan, which is we're going to tax the rich, that includes the companies. When those companies move, those people move. Those are the high earners. There's no one left to tax. So the danger here is this will be muted communism, because you can only do so many communist things when all you control is a city. And so it won't look as bad as it is, so it'll make more retards want more of it. They'll hold in no matter what happens, no matter how bad it gets. They'll do two things. One, they'll say it's Trump's fault or Republicans' fault that there's an immigration problem in New York or something like that, right? Which is exactly what they've already done. And at the same time, they'll scream that it's a roaring success. They'll find the people that say they're happy. And look at the people supporting this guy. They go in two categories. Poor, young, stupid young people. When I say poor, I don't mean they don't have any money. They're generally from affluent families. When I say poor, I mean they're poor in the way that we all are when we're 22, 23, 24 years old. You're supposed, see, these poor children, when I say poor, I don't mean money now. I mean poor as in disserviced children, right? These poor children have never understood that they're supposed to fucking be broke when they're young. No one ever told them that. Our generation, this is how we fucked up royally. We hid all of our struggles from our children. And we probably did it because our freaking elderly, like old boomer generation, silent generation parents and grandparents didn't hide enough of it from us. They told us all the time, we can't go there. We're fucking broke, right? There was no holding back, letting kids know. If you're 50 years old or older now, you know exactly what I'm talking about. If you grew up in the 70s and 80s, you were told there is no money more than once. We have to pay rent at the end of the month. I don't know if we have enough to do it. So we overcompensated like we did in everything. I'm going to get to that in a second, too, with another problem, the skills gap. We were like, we don't want them to feel stressed out like we did when we were children, not realizing how beneficial it was to us. Because when we were 22, 23, 24, 25-year-old kids, and we're like, I'm trying so fucking hard. Why don't I have any money? We're like, because you're not supposed to yet. You watched your parents. You know, if your parents were in their 20s when you were born, and, you know, maybe they were like late 20s when you were like 5, 6, 7, when you're just old enough to really remember things, you watched them become more successful and financial, if they did, if they eventually got there. What happened in our generation is you protected them so much they never didn't know. Or they never did know you were struggling. So they don't think they're supposed to have to struggle. This is a terrible disservice we have done to this generation. Because they can't cope with anything being difficult. They just can't. They don't know how. And so they will also turn to something like a Democrat socialist. Here's one person says, I'm a millennial. I remember my parents saying that, and I tell my kids, sorry, no money. You are not typical. Whenever I mention a generation, I never mean all. I'm just not the tar that goes, of course I don't mean everybody. I expect the person listening to me to have enough intellect, and I'm not picking on the guy who just said that. He brought up a good point. I expect you to have enough understanding when I say the freaking rich, wealthy, white boomers are voting for him. That doesn't mean every rich, white boomer is voting for this retard. That's even in New York City where he's running. I'm just telling you that the lion's share of his support are among wealthy, white, affluent boomers and young retards just out of college. That's all I'm saying. Doesn't mean all young retards just out of college are Democrats and are going to vote for a Democrat socialist who's actually a communist. It doesn't mean that. It just means that that's where the majority of the support is. And some people are not the guy that made the comment again. Some people are special little children. They need a little pat on the head and they need that explained to them. So for those of you that are like that, I just did it for you. But did we raise a generation? I'm about to upset my millennial friend here. Maybe even two generations of useless men. Useless men. And I would say, maybe so. Here's where this all came from, first of all. This retard here, Captive Dreamer, he is a retard, posted this picture of a kitchen. It's 280,000. It's completely unlivable. Here's what the kitchen looks like. And it's bad. For those of you that are on the audio only, it's old, cheap countertops. The floor is just completely pulled up. No, it's actually like a linoleum floor that looks like it's baseboard. It's so old. It needs paint. The cabinets are shit, whatever. The person, this Captive Dreamer retard, this guy right here, yeah, look at the, tell me that's not a retard. I mean, come on, folks, that's a retard. Anyway, he said, you know, it's completely, he got flamed in the comments. This is the kind of shitty house that when you hear your boomer or your silent generation grandparents bought their first house and picked it up. They didn't buy a brand new fucking house. Now, I'm going to defend retard here. I'm going to defend him just a little bit because, God, he's retarded. But this house is probably too far gone. This house probably is a teardown. But it was one of those things where the person that showed it to him took like 5 seconds to say, here's something in the price range you said you have. And if you look a little harder, you could probably do better. You could probably do less money and better house. But you should be able to fix up a house. This guy, Long Story Farms, LLC, retweeted or re-exed it. I guess that's what you call it now, right? Reposted it. And this is what he said. And I'm doing this more for his comment than for the original post. We have raised a generation of useless men. A friend of mine called me once because he had a flat tire. He didn't know how to change it. He didn't even know where to find the tools the car manufacturer provided. Wouldn't even recognize them if he saw them. That is the sort of man we have been raising. Useful men, men of my dad's generation, men like me, men like my sons, would just get busy. They would borrow a friend or his tools, hire a pro for a few things, and just get the work done. Most men now look at this and think this is beyond their reach, not because the work is technical or difficult, but because they don't even recognize the work. They don't even recognize the tools for the work. I completely agree with this person here. And until today, I'm actually going to follow him right now. I had never heard him before. He just kind of popped up in my feed. I'm going to say he's dead on. And I'm going to also say something to defend the young people that don't know how to do anything. We were supposed to fucking teach them how to do things. Now, some of us did. My son can do that shit. My son can change a fucking tire, right? My son can do brakes on a car. I went so far as I didn't always teach him when someone else was around because I know that kids will often listen to like an uncle or like a friend of the father more than the father themselves. So at one point he needed to put brakes on his car. That's back when I had Josiah, the intern here. I'm like, Josiah, do you know how to do brakes? Bro, please tell me you know how to do brakes. Yeah, I know how to do brakes. I put him with my son, Matt, and said, hey, show him how to do brakes. And he taught him how to do it. Right? And so I tried all along the way here. The lawnmower's not working. We're going to have to pull the plug. It's just the plug shot. It's old. We pull the plug out and put a new plug in and gap it. Little simple shit like that. Like, show him how to do it. And don't be afraid to give him work. Actual work. Like, hey, it's snowed. Here's a shovel. Get the fuck out there. How do I do it? I don't know. You'll figure it out. Find the sidewalk and uncover it. Can't do it wrong. Turns out they can do it wrong, but it's worth them doing it wrong. And they put the giant pile at the end of the walkway. Okay, that was a good try. And you got the sidewalk uncovered, but now we can't get off the fucking sidewalk. Well, what do I do now? You're going to shovel the big pile the fuck out the way. Well, it's really hard now and it's all compacted. Did you learn something? Yeah, I learned not to do that. Yep. So I still have to get rid of it? Who did it? But most young people did not grow up with that today. Most of them didn't. My son's age and down. My son today is the same age I was, I think, close to it anyway, when I started the podcast. That's how long I've been doing this now. So he's in his mid-30s. And he is unique among his peers. And a lot of people his age do have trade jobs, and they're handy inside their trade. Like, they're trained to do a thing at work, and they'll do blue-collar work, some of them, right? Especially when it's the only job they can find, and it pays better than working at, like, McDonald's. And so they'll know how to use a drill and shit like that, but, like, they can't transfer the skill set because they learned one thing one way by one procedure, and there was someone there to tell them you're doing it wrong. And then eventually they figured it out, and they got really good at it, and they're in a compartmentalized box. And I've even seen people, they have their trades, like they're carpenters, couldn't run a piece of wire if their life depended on it, though. So even some of the people that can do some things can't do other things that are pretty easy to figure out. We did that. And this is a big part of the problem that we have today. Since they don't have any answers, and since they've watched all this play out, since they did all the things that we told them to do, like go to school and get a degree and get a good job and you can pay for everything, and they figured out that didn't work, right? The dude with a degree in philosophizing that's making cappuccinos at Starbucks because he chose a stupid major doesn't see it that way. Everybody cheered him on the whole way. He did what they told him to do, and it didn't work out. So they want to change. They've seen Democrats in power, your conventional everyday Democrat, and they've seen Republicans in power. And even though they talk and say different things, their life didn't change at all. So they're going to vote for a retard like Madami for the same reason many people voted for the Orange Man twice. Well, three times, but twice to get him elected. I want change. I don't like the way things are, and I don't like the way things are going. And I don't even really like this person, but they're different. I will vote for different. Not understanding the old phrase, right? Out of the frying pan into the fryer, right? Like, they don't know that. They don't understand that. They don't get it because, again, we didn't teach them to think critically at all. These people really do believe that they are highly educated. That's even more dangerous. It is more dangerous to have a stupid person who thinks they're smart than a stupid person that knows they're stupid. Stupid people that know they're stupid rely on other people to help them, and they listen to other people. And when they don't understand it, they just say, but I know I'm stupid, so they're probably right. A stupid person who has been educated into stupidity looks down their nose at everybody else. You're just one of them. You're a Trump-tard. You heard some of the shit I had to say about Orange Man today. Right. But the minute that I say, like, this guy's a communist, oh, you just suck Trump's dick. Where do you I know that's what you do with your boyfriend all the time, dude. I get that. But where do you get off putting that on me? Right. I here's another example. I did a post recently, just a dumb, stupid, fun post. Cracker Barrel put some shit out. I posted a picture of the glasses wearing CEO. And I said, no love for this brand until they get rid of this woman who cost them $500 million. If a CEO costs a company $500 million, they should be fired. This is not in any logical universe, right? In anything other than the Elon simulation, I guess we're all in. There is nothing controversial about saying a CEO whose direct actions directly cost a company $500 million. And that's conservative because it doesn't include all the money they spent failing. It's just a measure of sales in. So it's probably more like $1 billion this woman cost this company with bad decision making. I didn't get, oh, woke is beautiful. No. I didn't get you hate white women or whatever the fuck else you would expect, where at least you'd understand, like, oh, I understand the angle you're coming. No, I get a fellow anarchist telling me the following. You're supposed to be an anarcho-libertarian. You're supposed to understand markets. You don't understand markets. What in the frick kind of crack are you smoking, and where are you getting it from? Like, are you like rolling fentanyl up on top of your crack or something? Like, That is a market solution. Don't give business to a company that behaves stupidly. I didn't ask government to shut them down. This is stupidity. And when I looked him up, this guy's young and stupid. He probably thinks he's an anarchist because he runs around in black throwing shit at windows. That is not an anarchist. That is not an anarchist, right? That is not what anarchy is all about. Anarchy is a lack of rulers, not a lack of rules. It's a very simple prep, and it has to come from the position of the non-aggression principle. Violence is only used in response to violence, and it's always proportional. In other words, if you fuck around at a 7 with me, you will find out at an 8, not a 10. If you fuck around at a 3, you will find out at a 4. Maybe a 3.5. Enough to shut you the fuck down. But you don't go out and do unprovoked violence on people. But, hey, it's the social contract we agree to. And I know that you're saying that facetiously, man. So don't take it. No, it might. No, I don't know. I don't know this guy. He might be serious. Are you serious, bro? If you are, you should probably leave. You're not going to like it here, man. You're not going to like it here at all if you're serious about that. The social contract. I never signed no fucking social contract, bro. Not at all, right? That's right. That's how I feel. Reese has got it. Don't start shit and there won't be any shit. Yep, that's it. He says, ha ha, no. Okay, you could stay then. If you made it this long, I can't believe that you would think that way. But I do. I think we've raised a generation of fairly useless people. And you're useless as men in the way as what are men supposed to be? You know, my buddy JR was just here a week ago. And we were talking about, my wife and he and I were talking. And we were talking about, like, is he ready? Like, he's divorced and to bring a new, you know, romantic partner in. And he's like, you know, the way I look at it, if I'm in a relationship, I'm a protector. He held his arms up kind of like a mother bird, you know, and I bring protection. I bring protection to a woman in my life on all levels, whether it's physical, whether it's their comfort, whether it's when they're upset, I bring protection. And so if I'm going to be in a relationship with somebody, and this is a man, right? This is how a real man thinks. Then my first question when I'm thinking about that with a woman is, are you worth it? If we were teaching that, we wouldn't have a generation of fucking simps. Where the best profession to be in right now is, if you're a good-looking woman, is simp farming. You don't even have to be good-looking. They'll simp for anybody. That's what OnlyFans is. It's just a simp farming site. They did for simp farmers what Uber did for drivers. That's all. It's a simp farm. And these simps will simp for anything. I see, like, sometimes you see the short videos, you watch a few of those, and one will come up, and it's some chick, and you look at it and go, this is not a real, this is AI, and they're simping to an AI woman. Fucking Sora right on it, they're simping. They don't think that way about bringing protection. But that is a thing that men are supposed to do. How can you protect your woman if you can't defend yourself? You're a fucking simp. We have a generation of simps. I've never seen simping like I've seen out of like the 25-year-old cohort right now. The you know, millennials, I thought those guys were simps. Those guys were freaking Marlon Brando compared to the simps we get today. Which means we're going retroactively worse as we go forward. My God. You know, what is the youngest generation, like the generation my grandson and my granddaughter are part of, are they going to be simps too, or are they going to have the backlash that we've all been anticipating? I don't know. But there's so much simping. So now that we've talked about bad shit, let's just give me a few good things before we tune out. Now, I got some super chats in, and I'm going to go over those with you at the end. But first, I want to tell you about a few other things. And I haven't seen a single question come up yet. If you want me to star you for a question, put the word question all caps. But the way I guarantee you that I will come back to you, even a 99-cent super chat on YouTube will automatically do it if I miss it when I'm bringing some of these pictures up and stuff like that. All right. So anyway, one of the things that worked out well for me this year, more on the home studying front, was an experiment that I started last summer with a crayfish known as a marbled crayfish. These are a self-cloning crayfish that popped up, I think, in the 90s, somewhere in Europe. There was one in a tank, and all of a sudden there were more. and there was only one of them. They are all Z-Zem, they-thems, right? They can all pleasure themselves into reproduction in one way or another, right? They're woke. They're the woke crayfish of the world. They're just a simple genetic mutation. We're not really sure what they mutated from. They're not quite sure how this mutation occurred or why it occurred. And it doesn't seem as if they all came from one initial thing. Like they popped up in different places kind of about the same time. And then the aquarium industry, they took off in that. And then some places they've been released. And some places they've been released and embraced instead of, oh, my God, it's an invasive species. I mean, this is a crayfish. Everything eats crayfish. Raccoons eat crayfish. Dogs eat crayfish. Like, fish eat crayfish. Like, people ask me if I'm keeping them in my big Miyagi ponds. No, because the catfish in there will just demolish them, right? They are a good food source. Now, the one in the picture that you're seeing that he's buried, she's buried, Z's buried, they, them is buried, and that's just a nice way of saying it has eggs. And that little guy there is about half the size of when they're fully mature. That's about the size where they will start to reproduce. Based on the size of that one and the reproduction cycle, I'm going to say that is at least third, if not fourth generation out of one of my outdoor tanks. So it's been through a Texas winter and they lived. So this is a success. Now, I don't know how scalable the success will be. Like, it doesn't seem like the populations of them in the tank that I have them in right now is that high, but I have some ways I'm going to try to improve that going into next year. But this is definitely a success. And, you know, I can sit down to a good old-fashioned crayfish boil, like a Louisiana style, and I can suck down a couple hundred of them. I can't. I don't think I'll ever produce them in that kind of quantity in the types of systems that I have here. However, you know, a dozen or two dozen of those as part of a meal, that's plenty good as a protein. Each one of them will end up being about the size of an average shrimp, the tails out of them. And I will say this about them. The little bastards can bite. And I mean, even for crayfish, they can bite. They are also very fast compared to other species of crayfish. As a kid, I used to catch crayfish all the time. And if you didn't have a net or anything, you could usually kind of put a hand in front of them. And so you distract them with that hand. And they weren't quite sure. If you didn't get too close, they wouldn't jet back right. And you kind of come up behind them and grab them. Well, these things, as soon as they see a hand, they're gone. Now, as far as food quality, I said that some places have embraced them. Germany has reluctantly sort of embraced them. They sell them in supermarkets in Germany under the term Berlin lobster, which is a pretty damn small lobster. But Madagascar, which is a very impoverished nation, it's basically a little subcontinent island off the coast of Africa, they don't have a lot of things that eat crayfish, so their survival rate's really high, and their climate is ideal. And what they do have is a lot of shallow bodies of water. And in Madagascar, they have literally intentionally spread them around. And they can go in with like a seine net, and they can catch, you know, thousands of these things at a go. And as long as they don't completely over-harvest, they'll never run out of them. It's become a staple protein in Madagascar, which tells you that there's potential here to do that. Reese said they look like fish bait. They do make good fish bait. That's what I'm saying. This everything's invasive. Everything is a cane toad in the minds of some people. Actually, science believes that even though the first one showed up in Europe in an aquarium, in other words, was identified, it is not the genesis of this animal. That it actually is a North American crustacean that mutated. So we probably have them in North American waterways anyway from general mutation. So it's probably not the big thing. But anyway, I want to share this with you because I do feel that it was a significant success. A failure this year was my garden. And it was not a failure because of anything directly that I did or even climate, because we have drip irrigation and all that. It was a chicken failure. My seven chickens, which are no more because I got tired of dealing with their bullshit. My Jersey Giants that I thought would be too lazy to get up into those great big giant tall beds did. And they wrecked the shit out of my garden this year. They dug holes. They dug everything up. They ate everything. So they went to chicken heaven. And I just decided, instead of trying to salvage the garden this year, to just the stuff that was still there, harvested everything that made it, burned everything down with a flaming weed torch, laid down a layer of biochar, and then a layer of compost, and then a layer of cover crop seed. And then I harrowed the cover crop seed with straw and watered it in for a few days, even the drip irrigation, like to really, I want the straw wet. So you want to water from above to do that. Did that for a few days until everything took off. And now I have if you're watching the video, you can see it's a very robust cover crop coming in. She's thick, doing what cover crops are supposed to do, suppressing weeds. I'm going to have a huge organic boom to the garden. The root mass plus the top mass being incorporated into the garden next year. So it's going to be a good year next year. Everybody has bad years once in a while. And I really want to make sure that I'm sharing my failures with you, not just my successes as a homesteader. I talk to people all the time that you would never think of it that want to get into homesteading. I just had Hakeem Anwar from Above Phone on last week. Here's a tech guy, brilliant tech guy, building privacy technology for the masses, de-Googled phones, running Graphene OS, right? Devices like the Above book that I'm podcasting to you guys from right now, with complete user control. You know what he wants to talk to me about after the episode's over? Where to buy land? How much land do I need? Right. And I think one of the things we have to be really careful of, guys, and I mean this, I'm being very sincere here, is too much fucking Instagram type shit, too much heart hands and everything's perfect. And it's not just homesteaders. It's like every community, van life, heart hands, right? Tiny house, heart hands, right? Every freaking chick in every freaking tiny house is always reading a fucking book. It's the only thing they do is read fucking books. Bullshit. Everything's always perfect. When you start homesteading, you are going to kill some animals when you first start keeping animals. And I don't mean the ones you kill to eat. I mean, you're going to fuck some up and you're going to be responsible for their death. You're going to put shit in and it's not going to work. You're going to build something and it's going to work for a time and it's going to break the fuck and you're going to realize you did it the wrong way. You're going to have days where you stand out in your backyard and go, why the F am I doing this? Even after you've been doing it as long as I have, you will have those days. It is a lot like when I talk about moving to a carnivore or ketogenic diet or even like a primal paleo diet. When you start to detoxify, about 50% of people, when they go through that change, for at least a period of time, usually 2 to 3 weeks or a little bit more even, feel like dog shit. And if you stop taking heroin, you will feel like dog shit. And the solution to your long-term problem is not start taking heroin again, right? And so we prepare people for the negative. We need to prepare people for the downsides of homesteading for a few reasons. One, because when they do hit the downside, they won't quit, right? Just say, fuck it. This isn't for me. Because what they'll do is they look at all these people, why can't everybody else do it? And I can't, right? Well, everybody else can't do it either. They have bad days, right? That happens. It does happen. You have a day where the pumps went off to your Miyagi pond and you didn't know it. And you happened to, you know, be a weekend when you were doing something unusual, like actually leaving the house at night, and it was off for 2 days and you came home and found floating, dead, rotting, stinking fish. That happened to me. You know, you're going to have bad days. You're going to have bad times. But the other thing is, when you share your failures, then people are like, okay, so how do I prevent that failure from happening to me? You learn more from failing than you do from succeeding. Succeeding often doesn't mean that you learn. Sometimes it's just you got lucky. You put the system in the way you saw somebody else do it, and it turned out they weren't a retard, and you did it right. You may have lucked yourself into something. You might have done something. If you move 20 miles and try to do it again, it won't work. Like planting trees on top of limestone rock. It doesn't work. I've given up on so much of what I tried to do here. I spent so much time and energy and money on this property trying to make it into something it's never going to be. And my life got better about 2.5 years ago when I just said, no more. I'm not going to try to do the things here that do not work here. Even the things that worked, with big-ass Dr. Evil air quotes, worked, right? What that meant is I worked my ass off to keep those things alive in the worst part of the year. I spent hours and hours making sure shit got irrigated. You can't irrigate 3 acres continuously with automation on one well pump here. And you can't irrigate enough here because you're dealing with 6 inches of dirt or less in a lot of the areas. So there's no battery. There's no reserve. And eventually I feel like there's a few places shit grows and there's a few things that grow in those places really well. Well, guess what? That's what's going to be there. If hackberry wants to grow there, guess what? Big ass clump of hackberry out there. Most beautiful clump of trees on the property. I love it. That's fine. It's hackberry. It's beautiful. It's a tree. It doesn't die. It lives. It gets to live. Mulberry grows. There's a mulberry right outside of my tree. A duck shit it out and it grew. It's a little close to the house, but screw it. Unless it actually becomes a problem, that mulberry's staying, right? Like, we need to tell people the truth about living on land and what it's really like. And we also need to be honest with ourselves when something's not working. And so I hope when I share a failure, like, hey, my chicken's fucked up. The one thing, like, one thing I could always rely on is my gardening ability. Like, once I built a garden bed, the actual bed, and gave a battery for reserve with good soil and built good, like, I could count on it. And even me, this year, I just got tired. And when they started causing the problem, I waited too long before I did the deed. I kept trying to rehabilitate chickens. You can't rehabilitate chickens. Once they know something, they know it well. And if they like it, they're going to go back there. That's what they're going to do. Last today, and I thought that you, some of you guys might want to do this, and you're going to have to email me for this, and this is not going to happen really soon. This will be like late winter, early spring that I'll start doing it, because the next couple months, I've got one already planned, but that's just me and a buddy and maybe one other buddy. But one of my passions in life is fishing. And one of my favorite types of fishing is just surf fishing. Go to the beach, set up some chairs, cooler drinks, maybe a grill, nicely equipped vehicle with tailgate equipment, and just hang out all day fishing. When the fish stop biting, you know, you rent an Airbnb or something, you go take a nap or whatever, and maybe come back out in the evening and finish up the day that way. I love that. It's one of the reasons my wife and I have gone to Florida so much on our vacations. She loves to lay on the beach and do nothing, and she loves to walk the beach and look for shells. And I love to fish. And those things go together really well. Well, I'm thinking about doing some shore fishing trips. Good Lord, that sounds like I'm being dive bombed by a freaking ultralight now. That's crazy. Anyway, down to the Texas coast, specifically like Freeport and or like the Bryan Beach area. That's about a 5-hour drive for me, which is really no big deal. Like, that's part of what I like about those trips is having that time. So I'm thinking about putting some groups together down on the Texas coast and, you know, come hang out, fish, come hang out while other people fit, whatever you want it to be. But if you were interested in doing that, send me an email, jack@thesurvivalpodcast.com, TSPC fishing in the subject line. I'll put you in a special folder for when I start that planning process to let you know about it. And I will mention it again, but it would be better if you emailed me right away. And then that way you would make sure you get notified. And it won't be like me charging you money or anything like that. Like, I'm not doing it as an event, right? Like, you know, $600 and we feed. Like, I'll tell you when it's going to be and where it's going to be and where we're staying. And then you can decide if you want to just drive in for the day and leave, or if you want to stay somewhere near us or something like that. The place that I'm going the weekend after Thanksgiving, first weekend in December, me and my buddy David and maybe JR, he's still seeing if he can go. We're going to head down to Freeport. We got a house. We're renting for a couple days. It's right on the beach. It's, you know, 5-minute walk down to the water. There's a bar and grill right next to it. And there's another bar and grill, you know, a quarter mile up the beach. We're just going to go be dudes and hang out, drink some beer and fish. And if we don't catch any fish because the weather turns, because it's hard to forecast the weather that far out. So when I do this, I'm probably going to do them as multi-day things. This is, we're going down on a Friday. We're staying Saturday, coming home Sunday. I will probably do these more like a Thursday through a Sunday or even a Wednesday through a Thursday. And since it's not an event, if you want to come, you come. It would be that simple. But what I will not be doing is publicly putting out the information. There are certain people who like to show up for certain things like this and cause certain kinds of problems. And if you do that to me on the beach where it's really easy to dig a hole, you may never go home. So in those people's best interest, I will only do this through email direct exchange with people that I can verify you are who you say you are. Now, I don't need you, you know, photocopying your freaking driver's license and mailing it to my house or some shit like that. I'll know when we talk. I'll know. Anyway, with that, this guy says the catch, clean, and cook stuff on YouTube is super popular. Just saying, yes, it is, and I love those. One of my favorite guys is a dude named Brant, and I think his channel's Angler Up with Brant, and I think he was one of the first people to start doing that. He started doing that about 10 years ago. This dude made so much money on his YouTube channel. He was a fishing guide. He doesn't even do fishing guide stuff anymore. He took his money, invested in Florida real estate, and he goes out and fishes still, and he does his channel still, but he doesn't take clients as a fishing guide anymore. So there's some interesting success there. All right, we got a few things that I'm going to hammer for you here at the end. People, either questions or super chats. The super chats, if nothing else, just to say thank you. Firebird Optics says, greetings from New York. Thankfully, not in the city, LOL. Yeah, man, thanks for the $10. And yeah, I don't know how anybody would live in New York City. And I say this as a person that was converted to being a lover of New York City. When I worked for Fluke Networks and I took the Northeast region, New York City was my biggest market. And I ended up spending about a week a month in New York City and the surrounding boroughs. And I was not happy about it. It was like, the job's a good job. It pays really good. Okay, I have to go to this crap hole city, and it is what it is. And then when I started going, it was nothing like it. It was an amazing place, honestly. Were there places that stunk? Yeah, yeah. Were there places that were, you didn't want to say, yeah. Did I want to live there? No, but I enjoyed visiting. The old saying, it's a great place to visit, but I won't want to live there. That was what New York City was. It has turned into a complete crap hole at this point. And I feel bad for the people that are kind of stuck there. Next up, we did mention this, but I'll mention you again now. Second Light Farm, pick the target, freeze it, personalize it, and polarize it. That's exactly what the left is doing. That's the exact modus operandi that the left is doing there. And you're dead on. And then Second Light has another one, $20. Bro, thank you. Here's what he says. Useless men are dangerous. The unholy triad is uselessness, worthlessness, and meaninglessness. These are the men that become violent. When men have nothing to live for, they find anything to die for. Very insightful. I think that it is uselessness, and I think I know what he means here when he says worthlessness. It's not that they are worthless to others. It's that they feel worthless. And I'll put it to you this way. Killing another human or damaging another human severely in a lot of ways has a lot of similarities to suicide or self-harm. It's just the person that commits the self-harm often lacks either the desire or the ability or the courage to harm another person. So they harm themselves instead. But the commonality that he's observing there, and he's dead on, is that it's a lack of hope for the future. A person that takes a gun, puts it to their head, and blows their brains out the other side of it has to have no hope that tomorrow will be better today, because if you believed that tomorrow can be better today than today, you wouldn't do that. And so the same phenomenon could be that the person, well, I ain't dying. And I got to say, I understand this. I literally answered a psychological question in a military screening once that way. Have you ever contemplated suicide? I'm like, oh, no, and I laughed. And the guy doing the exam said, you think that's funny? I said, well, in a way. He goes, well, how? I said, well, if somebody's causing me enough misery that somebody has to die, it ain't going to be me. He said, that's kind of violent sounding. I'm like, it's the army, bro. It's not. Like, this is what we're here to do, right? But I've had some people say, I would never kill myself. I would never kill myself. Well, I might allow myself to die a little quicker, right? Depending. If I had, like, I just watched the TV show last night, and a character in it had ALS. He was end of life. You know, maybe they could have extended his life a while, and he wanted to be allowed to die more quickly, because if he went all the way to the end, he would just be miserable, and he would have nothing that he could give anybody. because the one thing he knew he could give was his organs. Now, I don't know how factually based this entirely fiction-based show really was in this case, but it's a show that when I've checked out the medical realities of what it's promoting, they usually are at least mostly based in fact, right? And I can understand, like, ALS, you're not going to make it. It's 100% fatal. And the end is really, really ugly. And so the person that is faced with that future being that miserable, I can understand why they would take their own life. And I can also understand how it would lead to somebody harming others if they're not quite in that state, but they lack any sense of value or worth to themselves and no hope for the future. And also that's the people that vote for communists. Remember, kids, communism, you can vote yourself into it, but you have to shoot your way out of it. It's your service, what do you call it? Public service announcement for the day from TSBC and Jack Spirko. Okay, Firebird Optics, okay, says, it's ironic since you can learn almost everything on YouTube. It's never been easier to build a skill or a business. A lot of younger people have learned helplessness. I agree. They don't believe they can do it without somebody there correcting them because they've been conditioned to that, right? Every question has a correct answer and an authority over that correct answer. A lot of that is from the education system. I completely agree. And thanks for the super chat, bro. This was a good day for super chats. And then Gardens for Life, clearly from the European Union, says grow snakes for steak like John from SOE. Is he saying that now? He got that shit from me. But one of our Tuesday coffee chats with him, me, and Nicole. And I pointed that out to him, like, these big-ass pythons are like steak. But the thing about the big-ass python, we were having that discussion. It never really clicked for me before. I'm a snake guy, too, for those who don't know. You can have a big boid. A boid is a boa, a python, big constrictor, right? You can have a big snake like that. And you got to feed it to get it that big. But once it's that big, it just lays around. You can feed that damn thing once every 2 to 3 months, and it will live, and it will have very little weight loss. So in a time of turmoil and trouble, if you had he's got this giant freaking building now full of, like, retics and Burmese pythons and shit, anacondas, you could just, you don't have to worry about storing the meat if it's alive. Store it on the belly, I guess, instead of the hoof. And you could feed them on, a starvation diet, and they are not going to degrade because they just go into – it's almost brumation. Brumation is like almost hibernation. And snakes will go into this when they're lacking food. They'll get really antsy for a while looking for it, and then they'll stop burning energy and they'll just chill. And I've had snakes that, I've traveled for a month and come home to, and they were all fine. Everybody was fine. Nobody fed them while I was gone. I didn't even worry about them. I wouldn't do that with babies. All right. But when you're talking mature animals, They've developed the capacity for that. So I never really thought about them as a protein source, though a lot of people do eat snake. It is actually a quite heavily eaten thing in the world. And so that's cool. But yeah, he got that from me. Let's see. Art by Lee Murphy. Hey, Lee, how you doing? Lee's from my old stomping grounds where I partially grew up in Jacksonville. How do you best overwinter sun chokes if I can't leave them in a bed, which has to be redone? Oh, that's easy. Take your sun chokes, put them in a Ziploc bag. Take one or two pieces of paper towel, wet it down, squeeze it out till you almost can't get any more water out of it, put them in the bag with the sun chokes, zip them up, and put them in like your crisper drawer in your refrigerator. They'll be just fine. The other thing I guess you could do is plant them in a pot indoors, but I wouldn't do that because they're actually tricky to transplant. Give you a little sunchoke. These are also known as Jerusalem artichokes. Some of you might have heard about them that way other than as sunchokes. They grow a plant that looks a lot like a sunflower, but it's not. I don't think it's actually in the Helianthus family, which is a sunflower family. And it puts on these big tubers, and they're really good. They're also known as fartichokes because if you eat a bunch of them, you tend to fart. Now, here's the good news. They're dry, cool, non-stinky farts generally. It's just pure gas. It's not, high methane, reeky, stinky, right? But there's also ways you can reduce that. One is to cook them down to like a porridge, which I think is pretty nasty. But lacto-fermented, they do not cause that reaction. There's something about the lacto-fermentation process, because it's probably that they're lacto-fermenting in your gut that's causing that off-gassing. It's probably your CO freaking too, man, because, I mean, it was – we know this because we did it one time. The first time we ever grew them, we fried them like potatoes. They were delicious. And, yeah, it was a trumpeting night. It doesn't take long either for it to start. But, yeah, you can store them like that. Now, here's the cool thing about them, and this is why I say transplanting can be difficult. If you ever have them in a place where you don't want them, okay, then what you can do to get rid of them is wait till they come up the next season, whatever ones you've missed when you pulled them out, and there will be some. Wait till they get about 18 inches tall. And just pull them out, and they'll pull right out. They'll barely have any roots yet. And the tuber, if you pull one of the tubers out at that stage, will be completely hollow. That plant is going to live off the tuber, and it's going to grow off the tuber. It's going to consume all the energy in the tuber, and as it begins to consume all the energy in the tuber, it will start to put out true roots, and it will establish itself, and then it will form new tuber nodules on those roots. So that makes it a difficult transplant, because if you get it in that stage, so if you put them in a bucket and they started growing in the house, it might be difficult to get them to take on transplant and you can lose them. But that's all I would do. Now, here's the good news. Let's say you put a couple, three bags in the refrigerator and you only end up with like five of them that are completely viable by the time you're ready to plant them in spring. You'll still have a ridiculous amount of them. That whole night of the farts experience we had here. A friend of the show sent me four of them in a bag. I cut those four into like three pieces each. I planted them in a single 4-foot by 10-foot bed. I harvested buckets of the damn thing. They might be one of the best survival crops in the world, honestly. They grow zone 9 to zone 3, and they produce huge amounts, and they're very easy to grow. Question from RK Phil Ham, whatever. Can I do the fishing in Port Aransas? I'll be there next week. You can fish there. I won't be there. Next week, I'll be here running a workshop. But Port Aransas is a fantastic freaking fishing destination. It's more like 8 to 9 hours for me, though. So I don't know that I will be doing any events down there. But it is a hell of a cool place to fish for sure. It definitely is. Maybe we'll make one down that way, and hopefully at a time that you can join me. But I would love for some of y'all to pop me an email, jack@thesurvivalpodcast.com, TSPC fishing in the subject line, and there could be other fishing opportunities. I'm thinking about doing some things with some charters as well. That would probably be your paying me, because I'd probably make a deal with the charter boat and then offset it by, you know, selling seats on that boat. I would want to find something that could handle like 6 guys and actually put us all on fish, something like that. Or, you know, maybe a guide service where they have 2 or 3 boats and we can kind of be together and do that, because that would be fun. And if I do that, I will probably pair that with shore fishing as well, because it's what I do. You know, like if I book a captain, I'll book a captain and I'll still bring all my gear. And usually you don't need any gear on the charter boats, but then I'll, you know, you're there. So let's sweat some lines, man. Let's throw some chicken nets on the backside and see if we can get some crabs and what have you. So it's a lot of fun. It really is. I think that what makes shore fishing so much fun is something you just don't get in a, like doing it at a lake when you're in the surface. You just don't know. You know, I've tied into 5-6 foot sharks. I tied into one that most likely was a shark, and I couldn't stop it with the gear I had. I just was so outgunned. I was rigged for shark. If it had been like a 6-foot black tip or something, that bitch would have been up on the beach. This was not a 6-foot black tip. And it's just, I mean, some of you will get freaked out by what I'm about to say. Like, I've been, you know, like you come up over a sandbar and to get into the gut. And just as you do that, there's like 4 spinner sharks just tearing up a freaking stingray. Like, it's cool. You know, I know some of you that would freak you out, but it really is, if you're smart about what you're doing, there's very little to worry about. you're more likely to die in the car ride to the beach than at the beach from a shark. I'm just going to say it. But it's you just don't know. You know, the one of the biggest snooks I've ever caught in my life. It might be the biggest one. It's close to my PB. A snook is like a giant psychotic saltwater version of a largemouth bass with a big stripe going down its side. And I caught this huge snook. The guys are all up and down the beach chasing them with fly rods and shit. People that live there. And I'm sitting there shark fishing with a piece of dead ladyfish with a wire leader on a freaking circle hook. And it just, when it took off, I was sure it was a shark. And this is freaking massive snook, man. So I enjoy the hell out of it. And I wanted to share a little bit today with you of some of the things that I really enjoy. And that is one of them, you know, working with things like the animals in the backyard and all too. Anyway, guys, take care. Hope you enjoyed today's show. There was a lot of dark and gloomy. That's why I tried to end it on an upbeat. Funny thing is, soon we start talking about the fun stuff, 50 fucking people left, right? Everybody shows up for the doom and gloom and horror, right? That's what they all want to know about, right? Instead of actual lifestyle design to make your life better if times get tougher, even if you don't. We're going to keep teaching that. All right, guys, take care. I'll catch you tomorrow.
They said you should have a house the American way. $1 down, $1 a month, and you never have to pay. There's a better way to do this. Let me show you a better way.